This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham, Scott German, and final score Duke 72, Virginia 70. We haven't done a lot of these the last couple of years, Scott. A podcast after a loss. Not a lot of opportunities to do this. This was a heck of a game. I don't know what you can say. Both teams shot 50% plus. The rebound advantage was slight for Duke. I mean, this came down to literally, I just did the inside the numbers column posted to the website as we're getting ready to do this podcast. I really had to winnow down into this to figure out where this one was. My first thing is to say, obviously, three-point shooting, both teams didn't shoot well, but Duke coming in was not a good three-point shooting team. Virginia was 40.9% on the season from three-point range, only 3 of 17 in this game. And I think I said this, I wrote this in a pregame column. We talked about this on the podcast. I thought at some point Duke would go zone and try to get Virginia out of its offense. They did. It worked. And even all that said, I mean, strategy-wise, Coach K with that move, that really turned the game in Duke's favor. But when he went zone, Duke was up one. They won by two. So I'm looking at all this, Scott, and I'm saying, you know, yeah, Virginia lost the game, but I don't think there's anything to hang your head about. That was a great effort by Duke, a great effort by Virginia. They just happened to score two more points.
Yeah, that was a Final Four matchup for sure. I mean, there was two heavyweights that punched it out, and when Duke had the upper hand when it ended. That's all. And, you know, we talked yesterday that this is one game of potentially, we know two, potentially three, maybe four. If they meet in the NCAA tournament. If they meet the NCAA tournament, we know it's going to be somewhere deep in the tournament. And I think if you're a Virginia fan, as most of our listeners I'm certain will be, you got to put this in perspective. Yeah, we're disappointed. I'm as disappointed as anyone that we come away with a win. But, you know, even if we come away, even had we beat Duke, that didn't punch our ticket to the Final Four.
Right.
And the fact that we lost, that also didn't punch our ticket out of the Final Four. This is one game, and we've got to put that behind us. And I know we've got the coach that can do it, and we've got the players. The mentality there is there that probably by the time they get back to Charlottesville tonight, this game's done for, and they're going to start focusing on the next game, which is Wake Forest. And that's how, you know, they showed a graphic earlier in the day. The last 5 years, Virginia is 10 games better than the second best team in the ACC in games one. 10 better than Duke and Carolina, which were tied. So you don't get to that phenomenal record over a long period of time by letting one game get in your head and beat you the next game. And I'm confident that Virginia will come out and reestablish himself. Yeah, it would have been great to have beaten Duke two times in a row down there, but, you know, it didn't happen. We played well, and we lost to a great team by 2 points on their home floor where they rarely get beat. I don't think that's any reason to start pushing panic buttons or, you know, getting out on the ledge and thinking about jumping. This is a good Duke team, Final Four caliber team, but it's also a Final Four caliber UVA as well.
I'm looking at the numbers here, and something I haven't written about yet, and I will after our podcast, but here's something to put in perspective. R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson combined for 57 points. Barrett with 30, Williamson 27. They combined to go 21 of 35 from the field. That's 60% from those two guys. 21 makes between those two guys. Now, how many teams are going to see Barrett and Williamson score that much and be that efficient? You know, Barrett the other night had 23 on 8 of 30 shooting against Syracuse. He was 11 of 19 tonight. He was also 7 of 11 from the free throw line and lose by 2 at Duke. I mean, you saw two efforts from those two guys, probably their best two games. I think it's certainly the best game we've seen from Barrett given the competition. I'm kind of glancing through his numbers really quick. And he had a couple other games, but they were against Stetson and Hartford that were better efficiency games than this game for him. And literally all season long, And you see, we saw the good Barrett. We saw the best Barrett that has been seen yet this year in college basketball. This guy was, before the season started, the number one pick. Now he's the number two pick in the NBA draft. We saw about as good a Williamson as you're going to see. 27 points, 10 of 16, 9 rebounds, 38 minutes. Barrett had to play 40 minutes. And they won by two. So, you know, I don't know that you can get – again, you can't get too upset about that if you're a Virginia fan. You basically took what was clearly the best shot that you'll see from Duke, and it took their best shot to beat Virginia by two at home. So, you know, again, that speaks to how, you know, how Virginia played too. Virginia loses the game, but Virginia played well on its own end. That stands out to me as remarkable how well those two guys played and still Duke only wins by two.
Yeah, I think that's what makes me be able to go to bed and sleep fine, because we took a great shot. Virginia wasn't like this, you know, the two teams that just fumbled the ball all night long, couldn't throw the ball in the basket. They both shot over 50% from the field. Duke had their top two marquee players play great games. I'm sure that they didn't disappoint the four of NBA scouts that were there. We took Duke's best shot, and still, it was a one possession loss. So you move on from that, and you realize that this is round one goes to Duke. Round two comes up in 3 weeks from tonight. So you move forward, you know, and you try to get better. And you just put this game behind you. I'm sure we'll be looking at some film chances and things they did. Defense had some defensive breakdowns at times, but there's nothing here that would make anyone start panicking. And there's certainly nobody should be thinking that Duke may have drawn up a blueprint for the rest of college basketball to beat Virginia. I think the only blueprint that maybe Duke drew up is you go out and recruit three of the top five players in the country, high school players in the country, then you'll be pretty tough out. Well, there's not many teams that we're going to face from this point on to see that can match. There's none that will match their personnel line.
So I mentioned to me the strategic move of this game that turned this game around. And again, all it did was make it – Zion Williamson made a basket with 9:34 to go. It gave Duke a one-point lead. Virginia and Duke had been trading the lead back and forth for about 6 minutes at that stage. And it gave Duke a one-point lead. And then Coach K signaled zone, and Duke went zone. And Kyle Guy missed a three. Virginia's next position, he missed another three. And to that stage, though, before that first missed three by Guy, Virginia had gone 9 of 12 from the field in the second half. All three misses were by Mamane Diakite, actually. He missed a couple jumpers, which were weird, that he took, and he missed a shot in the post, a contested shot in the post. But the other 9 shots that Virginia put up were all makes. They were all layups or dunks. You know, so for a 10-minute plus stretch of the second half, Virginia was 9 of 12 layups and dunks on Duke. I mean, just eviscerating the Duke defense. At that stage, Virginia's 24 of 38 from the field, 63.1%, and you're still only, well, actually, after the Williamson make, you're losing by a point, which is what a high level this game was played at offensively by both these teams. And so Duke goes in. Virginia from that stretch, now they didn't go zone the rest of the way. They did mix some man in, but they would go back to zone, you know, kind of switch things up so Virginia couldn't get comfortable. But from that stretch, from that first time going zone, Virginia went 4 of 15 from the field down the stretch. Now, it's Duke, though, after with including the Williamson make, made 6 of its last 7. Now, here's what also says about this game. Duke goes 6 of 7. Virginia goes 4 of 15. And the margin goes from 1 point for Duke to 2 points for Duke. So, I mean, this game, it was that tight of a game where that one strategic move, you know, because to that stage, what Virginia was doing from basically the midpoint of the first half to that midpoint of the second half was so uncharacteristic of Virginia, and it shows again the versatility of this Virginia team. They weren't really running the move or block or motion offense. What you saw Virginia do was just spread the floor, and either DeAndre Hunter or Ty Jerome would take their man off the dribble. A number that stands out here again, when you talk about inside the numbers, this Virginia only had 8 assists on 28 made baskets. Again, shot 52% from the field. Only 8 assists, though, because what, again, Virginia was doing was spreading the floor, and whoever had the advantage on their man. And Virginia felt like, offensively, they had advantages with Jerome, with Guy, who got in the lane. Guy was, what was he, 4 of 5 on layups in the lane. He got in the lane 4 out of 5 times. Virginia in this game, and I've got my story up here. Virginia in this game, oh, I don't have that right here. I've got the shooting, the stat reference, the stat chart has great numbers for us here to be able to access. Virginia was 21 of 28 on shots in the paint. You know, that's, you wouldn't have thought going into this game that Virginia would have that much of a game in the paint. Duke was 23 of 34, so they made a couple more shots, but they weren't nearly as effective in the paint. Zion Williamson is the key guy on this team, and Virginia was more effective in the paint. But what Duke did going zone was take that away from Virginia, make Virginia a jump shooting team. Now, normally that's, hey, make us a jump shooting team. We shoot 41% from three, but Virginia only 1 of 7 in the last 9-30 from three-point range. So, boy, that's all it was, Scott, though. It was simply making Virginia into a jump shooting team. If Virginia makes any of those shots, obviously this game goes Virginia's way. That's how tight this game was.
Yeah, and then, you know, you just riddle off those stats, and it's hard to think that they could be so, you know, so different, but yet we lose by a basket. And, you know, I'm certainly not anywhere a fan of Mike Krzyzewski, but I will give him credit. He did make a good strategic adjustment there. And, you know, he's been coaching 40 years, or he's been a head basketball coach for over 40 years, 40 years at Duke, so... he's been through these wars before. He's been playing up at the ADC with Carolina. So maneuver that you would expect an experienced coach like that would come up with. And Tony, you know, Tony's been a head coach for, 12 years? So, you know, times are changing. The ACC is quickly becoming Tony's league. But we're still, you know, we're still seeing a really fundamentally strong coach in Krzyzewski, and that's not surprising that they would have a defensive switch like that, and it pretty much paid off. They have won the game with Blue Belts.
You know, I'll say it this way now too. The saying when you hear NBA guys talk, they call the NBA a make or miss league. And I always wondered, what do you mean by it's a make or miss league? What does that even mean? And I finally delved into it once. And it means, you know, all the strategy the coaches put in play and everything else, it's a make or miss league. After everything's done, guys either make the shot or they miss the shot, and it comes down to that. So, you know, I'm giving credit to Coach K for going zone. It reminds me, Scott, of the game in 2016, the Elite Eight game, Syracuse down 15, about 9 minutes to go, actually, too, around the same time. And Jim Boeheim said afterwards, hey, we're down 15 points, and we had to go full-court press, and likely Virginia shreds us and beats us by 30, but it worked. You know, that worked, and Syracuse went to the Final Four. You know, the shots down the stretch, the 1 of 7 stretch, I mean, there were wide-open shots. The only one that I thought was not a good shot maybe was the Braxton Key shot from the corner. But Guy had some wide open shots. Hunter missed an open shot. You know, it's a make or miss league. You know, we'll give Coach K credit for strategy of making Virginia shoot 7 threes in the last 9 minutes, but they were open shots, and that's, you know, usually Virginia makes. I mean, they're a 41% shooting team. You make 3 of those 7. You know, if you make 2 more shots, you win the game. So. You know, I don't want to say that Tony was outmaneuvered. He had Kyle Guy was 1 of 5 in the last 9-34 from three. Nothing on Kyle, not casting any aspersions. He missed some shots. He'll make more shots than he misses. Make big shots down the stretch of the season, hopefully for this Virginia team. But it was a strategy that happened to work. But boy, you know, it was certainly there for the taking for Virginia. I'll throw a couple other things out too, Scott. We noticed this in the first half. So, again, a two-point loss. Virginia was 3 of 17 from 3. We've already detailed how they did that. They missed some open shots down the stretch. Also, it's still a two-point loss. A slight 9-5 advantage for Duke in points off turnovers and a 13-8 advantage for Duke in second chance points. That's, but you add those up, it's 22-13 Duke on turnovers and second chance points. 9-point advantage for Duke and a 2-point win. I mean, that's where this comes down to. These are situations. These are the things that Virginia teams don't normally do. Virginia teams don't turn the ball over. They rebound. And Duke, the ball bounces their way a little bit. They take advantage, and Virginia misses some shots, and Duke wins by two. So and Williamson and Barrett go off with very efficient games, 57 of Duke's 72 points. Boy, that's an awful lot to add up to a 2-point loss for Virginia.
Well, and I think that's the reason that you're a Wahoo fan, you got to be very optimistic. It's okay to be disappointed, because we all are. Because in saying everything you just said, you know, we could have easily won that game had we made a couple of more shots. But you know, this was a heavyweight boxing match that went the full distance, and no one knocked each other out. It was just Duke one on point, and we move on. You know, you talked about Coach Krzyzewski making a switch there more, and you related it to the NBA mentality and making it. For all essential purposes, he's got an NBA team there. He's got three players on the floor that will be playing in the NBA next year. So I guess if you can get by with that, you're going to get by with it with the team like he's strutting out there night in, night out.
Let's talk about some guys. We talked a lot about the Duke side. DeAndre Hunter, a hell of a game for DeAndre. I love the game. You know, we talked about this on our podcast yesterday, Scott, with all those scouts. I'm sure there were a million scouts in attendance. DeAndre was huge in this game. 18 points, 8 of 14 from the floor in 38 minutes, played good defense. Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy each had 14. We're getting in the lane, which, you know, if either of those guys makes the three they normally make, again, it's a win for Virginia. Braxton Key, 11 points, 20 minutes off the bench, 6 rebounds. I mean, you know, he stepped up. You talked about it yesterday, Scott, how Key would need to step up, and he did. Kihei Clark played 18 minutes. He gave up a foot. He was guarding Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish is 6'9". He gave up a foot to him and was guarding him and did a great job. Reddish actually had 9 points in 37 minutes. So, wow. Little guy played great. And Jay Huff, only 7 minutes. He got a little foul trouble and didn't get a lot of time in the second half. But when he was in there, he did some good stuff. He had those two poster dunks, including that one where he faked a three, dribbled once, and dunked. He also had a rebel yell kind of block on Williamson. Williamson had 2 shots blocked in this game. You know, the ESPN folks will show his dunks at the end, but one block by Hunter in a straight-up situation. That was where Williamson was trying to back him down, was it Diakite maybe had that block? I thought it was Hunter. I'll have to look and see what that was. But he got it blocked straight up. You know, I think it was actually Diakite. I'll look that up more closely when I write. But then Huff had the help side block. And so, the bench guys, Key and Clark and Huff, made this interesting. I mean, Huff got 7 minutes off the bench, Key 20, Clark 18 minutes off the bench, and those bench guys outplayed the Duke guys on the other side. Virginia's showing its depth. All 8 guys that played for Virginia contributed scoring-wise, defense-wise, everything else. Duke got all of its contributions from really 2 guys.
Question, foul trouble aside, why did Jay Huff only get 7
minutes? I think defensively, you know, straight up, he was playing. Now, Bolden had 33 minutes, but Delorier only got 7 minutes. And Delorier fouled out in his 7 minutes. He did nothing. He was 0-for-0, had no rebounds, 5 fouls in 7 minutes. Obviously Huff, I was impressed he got in, that he, you know, was used in this game. He got those 2 fouls in the first half, and I'll look here real quick and see what the second half box. Did he get in the game in the second half? He did not get in. Wait, did he get in the game in the second half? Let me look at this real quick. Got to bring up another stat box here real quick. Huff got 4 minutes in the second half. Had one turnover. Yeah, I remember. He kind of a bad pass. And after that bad pass, that's when Duke went zone. He got subbed out around the 10-minute mark. Duke went zone next possession, and Tony tightened the bench up from there. I guess it was just probably situational. When Duke went zone, Jay could certainly be a zone buster type guy, but without neither of us sitting down there and talking to Tony after the game, or being part of that gaggle talking to Tony after the game, I would imagine it was just matchup related. And in Tony's mind, Salt actually had a pretty solid game. Salt played 28 minutes. That might be a high for him this year. Let me look at that real quick. Because it seemed, I don't know that Jack Salt's played 28 minutes in a game this season. Let's pull that up real quick and see. He played 33 against South Carolina and 34 against Maryland. So he played 28 tonight. Other than that, I guess. And Salt was effective. It's hard to say he wasn't effective in this game. Huff got more minutes. He looked good in his minutes. He got those two cheap fouls, but he certainly seemed to hold his own.
He'll be playing. He'll get more playing time. It's just, I guess, it's the situation of matchups. He just didn't lend himself for playing anymore. So what we learned today, two great teams. They'll both be Final Four caliber type teams. They both are. And there is one little silver lining to today, Chris. For about 6 hours or 4 hours, Virginia was the only undefeated team in the nation. Mm-hmm. Michigan losing earlier today. So yes, the Wisconsin team that UVA handled pretty easily down in the Bahamas. So I guess when the day is done, what we've learned is that there's a lot of basketball left, and the national champion will not be an undefeated team.
Kind of my last thoughts about whether or not I'm disappointed in this game. Actually, yeah, you want to win every game. I feel as good about this Virginia team right now as I've felt in a long time with this performance, this effort. This is clearly a much better Duke team this year than the Duke team of last year, which went to the Elite Eight. So that wasn't a bad team, the way it finished out. But this Duke team is better defensively. They're more efficient offensively. The two stars of this team, Reddish, God love him, he's going to be a lottery pick, but he's a distant third among those three freshman phenoms. But the two stars of this team are going to be NBA stars. I'm not sure about last year's group and how they'll end up. Marvin Bagley was the best of that group, and he's getting some playing time, not a lot of playing time NBA right now. So this Duke team's better. The best players on this Duke team are great college basketball players. And this Virginia team, and they played at the height of their powers today. And Virginia went down against the team that was, its back was against the wall after the loss to Syracuse with Trey Jones out of the game, with the injury suffered in that game. Those two guys played as well as they can possibly play, and they beat Virginia by two. So, I feel great about this team. When I was watching that game, and I think this one is the rare game of this stature with all the hype leading up to it that actually lived out to the expectations. It was a great game. These two teams, barring something unforeseen, are going to be playing in Minneapolis. And we'll see these two. Well, we know we'll see them in 3 weeks. We may see these two teams playing again. So I don't feel bad about this at all. This was a hell of a game, and Duke happened to win a game.
I agree 100%. Well, I have a sneaky suspicion that Duke, Virginia, when this college basketball season is over, I got a feeling that these two teams are going to have met four times, and that means that we're going to go deep into the NCAA tournament, probably Final Four, maybe national championship game, and that's all you can ask for, is to get the chance to play against the great teams, and for someone that has followed this team for so long. There's been many, 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 many games that we've gone down to Durham with not a prayer of a chance to win a game. So when we go down there, we don't play our A game, but we play a pretty solid game, and we lose to a great team by 2 points. I don't think that's anything to really start talking about. I think it's exactly opposite. I think it shows where our program has elevated itself to. And this program is going to be around for a long time. Can't say that about this because I have my hunches that when Coach K decides to hang it up, that Duke will become the UCLA of the East.
Well, we'll leave that topic for another day. But this was a hell of a game. It's fun. We lost. That sucks. But it was still a good game. And this is what January 19th, April 8th is the Monday when a national champion will be crowned. There's a lot of basketball to be played between now and then. But these two teams are definitely in the mix to be in that game. They may be in that game against each other. We'll just have to see. But this one was a fun, hard loss, but still, we'll grow from this. Virginia fans, Virginia team, your team will grow from this. So I guess we'll use that as our sign-off. For Scott German, I'm Chris Graham signing off. Final score once again, Duke 72, Virginia 70. We'll be back with you on Monday. We'll get you ready for the Wake Forest game, which is coming up Tuesday night in Charlottesville. And we'll talk to you then. Wahoo-wah.